If you can hear this, that means I'm dead. Or bored. Or maybe you're bored. Or possibly dead. Don't think about it too hard. You'll find in the long run, it's all kind of the same. Look at me, feeling all professional, having theme music and shit. Well, if you enjoyed the theme music, I commissioned it from a friend. I will link their Instagram in the whatever show notes thing once I figure out how that works. But, yeah, it's part of a full track, and hopefully with more content I create, I will get to add more things to that. But anyway, welcome to my podcast. I have no idea what I'm doing, but it'll be a fun journey to find out with me, I think. I am Rozzy, or Roz, or Thorn, or Rosalind, or Rose. I might have already said that one. I don't know. I have a lot of names, and you're free to call me any of them. I really don't care. So a little about me, I guess. I decided to start this podcast because I really wanted to just get better at talking and being able to talk, especially about whatever the weird things are that go on in my mind, because I have this habit from childhood of just not making noise, especially if anyone else is around, because I feel like I'm bothering them. And so there's a lot that kind of just goes on in my head that I never get out. And some of it is just weird and random and crazy. And some of it is kind of disturbing. And I'll leave most of the disturbing stuff probably out of this, but we'll see how open and free I get as we go. I have this thing about just clamming up and physically being unable to talk when I try to. And I don't really understand why, but I'm learning to work around it in some ways. So I learned like little bits of sign language, and I'm trying to learn more for a lot of reasons. One, I think it's just something everybody should know. And two, if I can't speak, maybe I can at least still communicate without having to like write or text or type something up so that someone else can read it. But there's not a lot of progress there. So being that this is just a talking thing and getting things out and going on whatever tangent is in my head, I have absolutely no specific theme. I didn't want this to be something where I would feel like I had to research for every episode, which kind of sucks because I do really like podcasts that are themed and that I learn something from. Like, I listen to 3 true crime podcasts right now. That's Morbid, and That's Why We Drink, and My Favorite Murder. And then I listened to a few others, but not like a lot. And I'm still trying to find more that I can stick with. But I also only really listen to one at a time until I catch up with it. And then I find a new one to binge because I forget what was going on. But one of my biggest inspirations for a lot of things is Peter Draws. And he has a YouTube channel, if you don't know about him, where he does fantastic doodles and just random art things. And his voice is really calming. And I'm the type of person that can't handle silence. So when I found out he had a podcast, he was one of the first podcasts I listened to. And he called it Peter's Content Free Podcast. And there weren't like a lot of episodes, but I really liked it. And I really wanted to try and make something like it that could just be a voice in the background or a way to just have a friend there talking to you without actually having to have a person there, because maybe you're at work or you're in the car or you really like being by yourself, but you also don't like being by yourself, which I feel, because that's what drove me to get my cat. And now I have three cats. And I'll tell you the story of how I got each of them in due time. But for now, their names are Loki, like the Norse god, the Marvel character. Maki, like the sushi. And Takoyaki, like the fried octopus balls, the food. Currently, Takoyaki is playing underneath my desk, and he's the biggest chaos demon I have ever met. And I realize now I'm talking about the cats instead of any particular reason of why I started the podcast. But we are 6 minutes in, and I decided to edit as I go. So, you know, so far so good. Because I thought I'd sit here and I'd think about what to talk about, and I would come up with nothing. And I would just be stuck hoping to have something pop into my head, and then editing out a lot of silence. And I didn't want that, because I feel like that would be really demoralizing as far as recording the first episode. But I spent a while talking to myself, really. I've mentioned this to a few other people, and those people know me in real life, and they will not be informed about the podcast, because I don't like people knowing the things I create very much. Like, I'll show them things when they're completely done, and I want them to hear it, but I don't actually like the sound of my voice much, or the idea that maybe I thought of something really weird that maybe isn't the most, like, okay thing in their minds, and they all judged me hard for it, even though I know that my friends are the type that wouldn't do that. But the little voice in the back of my head says, hide this away from the rest of the world. So, hello, random stranger. If you've made it this far, congratulations. Not even 10 minutes in, and I'm not sure why anyone's listening to me. So I have no idea how the audio quality on this is actually going to turn out. I haven't done a lot of recording stuff before. I've made some YouTube videos ages ago. They are not good, and they do not have a lot of views. I've recorded voice messages before for people. I've been on, like, video chats. So, like, I know the basics of, like, how good most of my recording equipment is for things, but I don't actually know if the final end product will sound anywhere close to professional. And I feel like the real shining star of this is just going to be that theme song at the beginning. But here we are. And I just ran out of things to say. So, the cats. Okay. When I was in college, I discovered pretty early on that I don't like having a roommate. Or at least a roommate that I don't know, that's just randomly assigned to me. Because I ended up staying in my room pretty much the entire time. It was like a suite setup, so we each had our own, like, bedrooms. It wasn't sharing, like, a tiny little room entirely. I feel like I would have gone completely crazy. I she was nice, but I ended up just isolating myself a lot because I just wasn't super comfortable with everything. And then she'd have friends over and I'd be like, ooh, stay away. I could meet new people, but also I could not, and that sounds better. And so after that semester was up, I just got my own apartment. It was still kind of the same sort of situation of like campus housing. I think it was off-campus housing, but like the school technically owned it all. So it was like a bridge between dorms and apartment living. And I was by myself in this whole area, and I realized that that is kind of terrifying, but I really didn't want another person. So I got a cat. He was this tiny little kitten, and he was gray, and I named him Ragnar Fell, after a character in a book series that I really love. Well, he's in multiple series, really, but he's a warlock in the Mortal Instruments series, or just the whole Shadowhunters setup by Cassandra Clare. And he was my everything. He was just a little gray kitten, but he got sick. And at the same time, we had adopted his brother, too. And that cat was supposed to be my dad's. And his name was Loki. Or at least we named him Loki. He came with a different name. They were part of a litter of three that was abandoned by their mom and found and brought in by a friend of a friend. And we decided that we could adopt two of them because this man couldn't take care of all of them, especially just with his whole situation going up. And they were supposed to be so tiny. They looked so little. They were a little bit scruffy for the fur. And I loved it, and I loved the look. And Ragnar got sick. He started to have trouble peeing, and just generally, all in all, he was in pain all the time. And we found out that he had a birth defect. And he didn't last very long. And it kind of crushed me, because this was the first cat that was completely mine. And I had him for just a couple months at that point. Maybe even just 1 month. I'm not really sure. I think it was more like 2 or 3 months. And the day we put him down, we came home. And Loki decided that he was not my dad's cat anymore. And he would not leave me alone. And he did everything he could to cheer me up. And he got in my face. And he would just stick his nose right under my nose and boot me. And he would come over and he'd just check out my face if I was crying and get all up close and personal. And if I got more upset, he would do something completely stupid. And I would start laughing. And then he'd sort of like look all proud of himself, like this majestic lion, because he's orange. And, you know, ginger cats have so much personality. And everybody agreed that Loki would come up to my apartment with me. And he became my buddy. And then fast forward, probably like 2 years later. I'm not great with the timeline in my head right now, but I got a message on like this whole group chat that we had for neighbors in the apartment based on like who we were assigned as a community advisor, which is kind of like an RA, but more of like a guide. So if we had a problem, we went to her, but she wasn't always like checking in on us like an RA does, because it was still more hands off. And she had found this cat who was abandoned, and she couldn't keep taking care of her anymore. And so I messaged my boyfriend, and I was like, "You were looking for a cat, right?" And he was like, "Oh no, don't do this to me yet." And He originally wanted to get a cat for his mom, but we went to go and meet this cat, and I assured him, I was like, we are just meeting her. You're just giving her a chance, seeing if she likes you, because to me it's important that you meet the animal and they make their judgment too. And it's not just you decide without even looking or just based on looking that this is the cat or this is the dog or whatever animal, because they have an opinion too. And we went over and we met her, and it was perfect, really. Like, she did not like people. She has had a hard life. We went to go, and actually, I think the community advisor had gone to go see if she had a microchip, and she did. And they contacted those owners, who basically said, hey, we don't have her anymore. We gave her to somebody else because we didn't want her. And gave us the phone number for these other people who are supposed to be taking care of her. And they just never contacted back. And I think eventually there was some contact that was somewhat rude too, but essentially just they didn't want her either. But all of this had been a while back, and she had seemed, from what we could tell, to have had at least 4 homes in the first year of her life, and she had spent about a month just on the streets, just around the apartment complex where I was. And so, rightfully so, she was scared of people and scared to get attached or anything. And as soon as we went over, she came out from under the bed she was hiding under, and she rushed up. And she investigated him, and then she just curled up next to him and was like, hi, I'm here. And we looked at each other and we were like, oh, yeah, you're taking this cat home. And so it was a 2-hour drive back because my apartment was 2 hours away from where he was living, because it's a 2-hour drive from where I grew up to college. And she handled that ride perfectly, and she has been inseparable from him since. And we introduced my cat and his cat. So Loki and Maki met each other, and they became best friends. They still hate each other a little bit sometimes, like siblings. Like, they don't ever actually hurt each other or do damage, but all cats get into their little spats occasionally, and they've got plenty of space now. Trust me, it's not like an actual issue. They've been around for a while. And the main reason why I know that they are completely okay with each other, despite all of their dramatic bickering, is that if we take one away from the other, ever, I've had to take my cat to the vet. I've had to take his cat to the vet. I've had to isolate them from each other for various reasons. And as soon as they don't have access to each other anymore, one or both will start crying the most pitiful cry in existence. And they'll only stop once they're reunited. And I think it's really sweet and also really annoying, because sometimes I do have to separate them or take one out of the house. But I think it's good that they have each other. And that's the first two. So, for a long time, it was just Loki, Maki, him, and I. And we moved into the house we live in now. And we were hanging something up in the front room. And I hear this noise. And something just doesn't sound right. And I can't shake this feeling. Like, I have to check it out. Like, it's not a kid crying. It's not, like, if it is a kid crying, something's very wrong and they are hurt. But it's not, it was some sort, something needed help. So I voice this, and he's like, nah, kids are probably playing. They make weird noises. It's fine. But I can't shake it. So eventually we're like, all right, let's just go outside. We'll just take a look. If everything's fine, everything's fine. If it's not, At least we looked. We can help. Like, we can do something. So we walk outside, and he still has the drill in his hand. And he's like, I don't see anything. What is it? Meanwhile, I have turned to my right, and I see there on the outside windowsill this tiny kitten that looks just like Maki, but so little, just crying for fear. And he kind of just looks at me, and he's like, we are not getting another cat. Like, we can't. We've got these two. They are more than enough. And this coming from the man who wants every animal he can feasibly have. We're always talking about all the different animals that we're going to get and how we're going to have them and how much space we'll need and all these big dreams to basically have our own personal zoo, like, humanely and not abusive or anything. Like, they'll have the space, they'll have the resources. It's a very thought out plan that will probably never happen to the extent that we've thought about it, but it's a nice dream. And I'm like, we at least have to catch him. We at least have to check him out and make sure he's okay. And so we try, and he runs two houses down, and he curls up against this brick wall, and I've cornered him, and he's terrified. Rightfully so. It's like suddenly these big creatures are basically after him. Like, he was maybe like four or five months old at the time. 4 months old, I think. Close to 4 months old, according to the vet. But he takes off his overshirt, and that's what we wrap this tiny kitten up in. And he's hissing at me his best little tiny hiss, and it's not going well, and it's not deterring me, because I know I will catch him, and I will be kind to him. And I wrap him up and hold him close to me, and he starts to calm down. And we bring him back over to the house, and we open up the garage door so that we can check him out somewhere that's inside, but that's not directly by our cats, because we know that, like, you can't mix a random cat with your cats that fast or anything, and who knows what he could be carrying. So we check him out, and he's clearly got fleas, he's clearly got ear mites, he's got all these relatively minor things that you still have to address for his own sake. But other than that, he's just very skinny. Like, he has not eaten enough. He's old enough that he can handle food that's not just milk, but he's too little to really know how to hunt for anything himself. So we take him upstairs to this little, like, well, really, it's my craft room. It's kind of just was an empty room at that point. I hadn't put anything in because we were still figuring out all of the move-in stuff. And we close him in there. We get, like, a little litter box set up and bring him some food and some water and get him going. And he immediately cheers up. Meanwhile, the big cats are pawing under that door so much to try and get to him. And you can tell they don't want to hurt him. They're nervous because they don't know what this is, but they're also worried. And eventually we take him to the vet as soon as we can schedule stuff, and we check him out, and he gets his shots, and we name him. And the choice to name him Takoyaki came because we've got this little theme of the ending in a K-I sound with Loki and Maki. And because he looks just like Maki. He's just smaller. He's a sort of brownish gray tabby, a little more gray than brown, short hair. Maki's a pretty big cat. She's not massive, but she's above average. So I think she'll probably stay bigger than Takoyaki will. But it would be entertaining if Takoyaki outgrew her, because she was named after sushi, which is like kind of your main course thing. You just get a bunch of sushi. But Takoyaki is more of an appetizer, which is smaller. I don't expect him to outgrow Loki. Loki is mostly Maine Coon. He is long hair. He is such an attention seeker. And I love him. He tries to take care of me. But I am also technically allergic to cats. Being exposed to them all the time really helps me to not have as much of a reaction when I'm around cats. But if I start to have a reaction, then I kind of have to distance myself a little bit. I just get like the itchy eyes, watery nose. It's nothing like super, super serious. But it's unpleasant. And it's mostly bad when I get scratched. That swells up and itches bad. And it's not a fun time, but I've learned to live with it. I can take a Benadryl and it calms down. But Loki wants to take care of me in every moment. So if I'm sick, he'll come over and he'll stick his face in my face and he'll check for breathing. If I ever have something where he's worried that I'm not breathing when I'm sleeping, he will come over and forcefully stick his whole face under my nose to make sure that there's air coming in and out. But he won't stop. He doesn't understand that he's hurting me sometimes, because if my allergies are really bad and this big 20-pound long hair cat comes up and is all in my face to try and make me feel better, he means well, but he's making it so much worse. And I have tried to explain to him that he can love me from a distance and that will help, but he doesn't listen. So I just take a Benadryl and put up with it. Maki, on the other hand, is completely my boyfriend's. She loves him so much. And right now, he's working night shift. Not like continuously. It's a weird schedule where he'll switch between day shift and night shift and have days off between each switch. But when he works night shift, I have been shutting the bedroom door when he sleeps, because Loki will wake him up for attention by getting in his face and sitting on his chest. Takoyaki will mess with everything in that room and make so much noise and wake him up. Maki just wants to cuddle. She wants to be near him. She won't wake him up. She'll be fine. But I can't leave the door open for her and keep the door closed for them at the same time. So she has been so moody and so dramatic every time he has had a night shift schedule and he needs to sleep, and I have shut her out. And just today, I was basically like wishing him well and saying goodbye as he went to work. And I closed the door behind him because I had to make sure that the kitten didn't get out. And so I locked the door, and as I locked the door, my wrist got bitten. Because Maki was not happy that I shut that door on him. And then he had to come back in because he forgot something. And she was so much happier. And then as soon as he walked out that door again, she started crying. And I was like, this is how the whole night is going to go, isn't it? But it's okay. He'll be home soon enough. And she will get to have her attention then. Whenever he's home, like, she gets all of the attention she wants. But I don't know how to get her to like me any better. She tolerates me. She puts up with me. She will let me hold her, and she will come out for me, which is nice, because when we have any visitors, ever, she's gone. As soon as you ring the doorbell, you knock on the door, she is upstairs in the guest room, underneath the bed, and she will not come out. And the frame on that bed is a box, basically, that just has like a cave opening to it. So like, you cannot easily get her out of there. And so we just let that be her safe space. Meanwhile, Loki affectionately has the middle name Benedict, as in Benedict Arnold, because he is a traitor. He's my cat, And he has always been my cat more than anybody else's cat. But as soon as anybody else walks into the house, he decides that they are his new favorite person in that moment. And they can do no wrong in his eyes, as long as they give him a belly rub. I do not understand why this cat loves belly rubs from random people so much. It is so un-cat-like. But he does. And I think it's adorable. But I also wish he wouldn't as much, because his belly is so fluffy. I have to brush him all the time either way, because he gets these mats really easily just from regular movement. But the more he rolls around and rolls over to try and just get all of that attention from everybody, the more he sheds. So the more cleanup I have to do. But we have an air purifier filter thingy that has knocked it down a lot. So less allergies. Despite 3 cats in a house with 2 people who are allergic to cats. So that's my cat story. Loki is 4 years old. His birthday is April 1st. Maki is about 4 years old. Actually, her birthday is tomorrow, theoretically. It's not her actual birthday, but the vet told us roughly how old she was when we got her. And so we pulled out a calendar and put different like treats on the different months and the days, and we let her pick her own birthday. So her birthday is tomorrow as of me recording this. So December 6th, she will be 4 years old. And Takoyaki, according to the vet, based on his rough birthday, would be about June 9th. So we have decided birthdays for all of them, purely because we know Loki's exact birthday, because he was found at a very specific point. But we can't just let one have a birthday and not have the others have birthdays. So I will do something nice for her. I'll probably buy her a new toy. But I want to get more animals. But I also know I can't yet. And I also know these ones drive me up a wall so much already. And I think we're good with just these 3 for now. But I'll be sure to let you know if I get any more. And any adorable updates or not so adorable updates from these ones whenever they come. I can't believe I talked for half an hour about my cats. I mean, I can because I've done it before. But that's not really where I expected this to go on the first episode. I guess I can tell you a little about myself. And I feel like I just blurred all of my words together there. People have told me a lot that I talk too fast. And I know that. And I know for listening's sake that I need to slow down to a point that feels too slow in my head, because it will come out at the right speed for everybody to listen if I do that. Because I grew up religious, and I actually, for a few years, was a lector in church. So I would be one of the people that goes up and reads whatever passage from the Bible that we were studying that particular mass. And people told me that I was good at it. I enjoyed it a fair bit. But it also put into me this pretty good ability to read anything to you that's written down as a sort of like, I guess, lecturing or lecturing way. But I have a lot harder time remembering all of those techniques and coming up with my own words and my own things to say and just speaking freely. So I tend to prefer to just write things down and read them from there, or have a script to read off of that I can read off of in that moment. So that's another thing that I want to work on. The funny thing about me lecturing in church, actually, is that they gave me all these examples of public speakers and these speeches that I could listen to and learn about the inflections that they used and the way they projected and the making eye contact with people in the audience as you go, to engage the people and get everything that you need to say out in a captivating way that was also understandable. But instead of doing all of that, I just imagined myself as Marnie from one of the Halloween Town movies. I believe it was the last one, but I haven't watched them in a while. But there's a part where she addresses everybody, and she has this, like, big booming voice, and it's this full public speaking thing, and she's all like, "Citizens of Halloween Town." And that was my inspiration, and everything I thought of for this very first, like, time up there at the altar area, at this big podium, looking out over all of these religious people, some of which who were very against everything Halloween. And I never told any of them. But I thought it was funny in my head that that's how I was seeing myself, as I was basically up there going, "Brothers and sisters." Not quite as much of a dramatic flair in there, because they didn't like that. But fun nonetheless. None of this is scripted, by the way. Technically, I went over that first part before the theme song in my head, like, 30 times before I actually got up the nerve to record anything, because I had the idea for it, and I was like, ooh, that's a good way to open. I should do that. And then I didn't repeatedly. But I finally got up the nerve to. I said it. It sounded good. It sounded like this was going to be a lot more philosophical than it is so far. We start off, you know, death and boredom are the same thing. Theme song plays. These are my cats. So that's my personality, I guess. There might be philosophical stuff later. Right now I'm just passing the time, figuring out the ropes, and hoping that I come up with something that I'm okay enough to actually put out there, which I guess if you're hearing this means that I decided that I was. Or I decided to say, fuck it, let's try it. And then I never listened to it myself, so that I never had to hear if it was bad. That's potentially the more likely option. But I don't know. We'll see. It's 7:37 p.m. right now. And I should probably have done more adult things today, like the boring stuff. I did do dishes, so I consider that a personal victory. But I should have done laundry, which I did not do. And I should have probably cleaned out the fridge or something. But it's fine. I'll probably be in bed not caring about it within the next 2 hours, because I am old. I'm 24, but I'm old. And I have to wake up at like 4:30. Technically, I can stay in bed until 5 if I want to push it, but I have to be at work pretty early. So that's the life. You become an adult and you go to bed at 9. But I think I've gotten pretty used to it. I was never a morning person, ever. But I kind of enjoy it now. I have a hard time staying up at night. But I also have a hard time falling asleep alone. So I wanted to give myself another project that would pass the time and be something good to do while I was home alone, which I should probably not be saying given that I listen to true crime podcasts. And now I'm going to be paranoid that some serial killer is going to find me, so I will not be telling you where I live. I can pass the time. I can make noise and not feel guilty about it, but get more comfortable with making noise and have something productive come out of it. Or at least hopefully productive, if I ever publish this. But anyway, Christmas is coming up. And it's a good time and a bad time all at once, so I'm trying to make the best of it, but I am nowhere near done with anything I need to have done for Christmas. I've got like 5 people I still have to figure out presents for, and I told myself all year that I was going to make something for multiple people, and we are already in December, and I have not started making these things. And I will probably not finish them. Which is kind of a pattern as far as making things for people and gifts goes. Because as soon as they find out about it, I have lost my motivation to finish the project. Which isn't great. Especially then if I get teased about it for years. I have been dating my boyfriend for almost, I think it's like 3.5 years now, almost 4 years. I don't really feel like doing the exact month math and being that girl. But there's a scarf that I was making him with this really cool ball of yarn that I found, and I was making one for myself too. So they could match, but they weren't like matchy completely. It was a variegated yarn, which, as far as I remember, if I'm using the word right, it's got 2 colors, but they're sort of like blends of the colors back and forth. And one is this deep gray that's almost black, and this red. And the other one is this deep gray that's almost black, and this like cyan blue. And I really liked it. And I started crocheting these scarves. And I was so happy to be doing it. And then I made the mistake of telling him that I was working on it, and then he knew about it, and he was excited about it, and I was excited about it, but I had hyped up in my head so much his reaction when he found out about it, and I got that excitement, and then all motivation to finish it died. I still have it in a box somewhere unfinished, and that was about 3 years ago. I also have an unfinished cross-stitch project in a drawer next to me that was supposed to be for his birthday. Not this past year, but the year. Like, not 2021 birthday, but the 2020 birthday. Which I also haven't finished. But that one is in the drawer next to me, so I will finish it sooner than the scarves, probably. But he likes to tease me about it in like a fun way and be like, man, it sure is getting cold. I wonder what it'd be like to have a scarf. And I'm like, I forgot again. Because it goes so far that I just completely forget that I even had that project started. But this year, I actually got him gifts that I didn't make, so I will be able to give him those gifts on time, finished. And we share my Amazon account, so I know Amazon, all the, you know, big company shop local. Yes, I do that as well. But for this particular gift, I ordered it on Amazon, but I couldn't order it on my Amazon account because he gets notifications for it too, and then he would know. And it's nice to have a surprise every once in a while. Because every gift I have given him that wasn't something I made, he has guessed. Somehow. I don't know how. Like, I got him a router for his birthday 1 year. And when I was like, hey, I finally finished shopping for your birthday presents. And he was all like, you don't have to get me birthday presents. I don't even like my birthday. And then he was just like, I wonder what you got me. Like, it was the first or second guess that he was just like, you got me a router, totally, didn't you? Nah, you'd never buy me a tool. Which I did. And so I was like, fuck, he guessed it. What am I supposed to do now? Because the surprise is ruined. And I had this whole internal panic attack. But, like, I convinced him that I didn't do that because I would never. Because I'd just let him choose his own tools and all of that stuff. But no, I absolutely did. He was kind of surprised, but no, he had guessed it. So that was not ideal. And it's been like that for pretty much every gift that I've gotten him. So this time, I ordered him stuff, but I had my best friend order it for me, and then I paid her back for it, and it went to her house. And tomorrow-ish, she's coming over, because he's working nights, so he won't be here. And it's all very sneaky and thought out, and then I will wrap them up and hide them, and hopefully he will not find out before the time. And I don't even trust, like, that he's not going to find this somehow if I publish it before Christmas, so I'm not even telling you guys what it is. I will take no chances. I'm kind of tempted to take the chance now. But I won't. I'll tell you after Christmas. If it goes well. And if it doesn't go well, I will burn the evidence. So. I ran out of things to say again. Right, I was supposed to be talking about me, and instead I just talked about how fast I should talk. Which I feel has varied a lot in this. And I will get better, I promise, with time. But I exist. I graduated from college with a bachelor's degree. I decided at that point I did not want to go back to college for a long time, despite everybody around me saying that for my career path choice, I should really get, like, more degrees and more certifications and go higher and higher. And school burned me out, man. I was, like, a gifted and talented kid. And then, like, I never had to work hard in high school. Like, not trying to brag or anything like that. But I never had to put in the effort in high school or anything up to high school. And at that point, I enjoyed school. But I never worked at it. Like, I was challenged by some things. They put me into some advanced classes. I actually went to an early college high school. So I had a college degree, like an associate's degree, whenever I graduated high school too. But it wasn't hard. So I could just basically float by. I learned things and it was fun. And then I hit, like, real college, like university. And I was, like, barely average. Like, at some points I was below average. Like, I did not even get a good enough GPA to be able to get into, like, the really good, like, master's programs or anything like that. And I would have to use something else to make that better and actually get an admittance. Or I would have to do something to, like, retake classes that I hated so much. Like, I love algebra. I love geometry. As soon as you hit the, like, trigonometry and calculus level of things and above on that. I hate it. I'm not an engineer for a reason. I love robotics and robots and all of that kind of science stuff. But the math for all of it does not come easily to me. And I never learned how to study because I never had to. And trying so hard to even get through college with the mentality that C's get degrees ruined school for me for so much. And I am lucky enough to be using my degree right now, but I'm not getting enough of my creative outlet anymore. Like, I'm doing some things. I have my craft room, but I'm not making enough art. So I'm trying to get back into that and doing more. For the record, my job is in a laboratory. I do science things. So I get my STEM side, but I don't get my art side as often or as much. And I'm working on it, but I have a lot of boxes of things that I have to get through in the craft room, and I have to figure out storage and all of that, because I can't stick to one craft. If you ask me what art I do, it is all of it. I just hyper-focus on different things at different times. So, right now, there really isn't a right now. I sewed something. It's not exactly appropriate. But for a Secret Santa that I'm a part of, it's with some people that I've played D&D with a few times. I'm just getting into all of it. And the person that I drew is actually our DM for these like runs that we're doing right now. And so I thought it would be really funny to order him a set of resin dice off of Etsy that have little penises in them. Because that is our sense of humor. And I was thinking to myself, like, I can't just do that. Like, I'm known for making gifts. I like to make things. And I have resin and I have all of that, but I don't have a pressure pot. And I've never actually made dice. And I need to finish setting up the 3D printer that I impulse bought so that I can, like, actually make some master dice and get into all of this, like, mold making and dice making, because I want to do that. But I haven't done it yet. So I just ordered this set. And then I had fabric, so I sewed a little pouch to hold the dice. And it is in the shape of a ball sack. And I used, like, cross-stitch thread to make it hairy. And I am very proud of myself. And I'm not good at pattern making. So I winged the whole thing. And I trusted the process and it worked. So maybe I can trust the process with this podcast and make it work. And maybe I can stop feeling like my mouth is watering extra for talking so much. Just to the computer screen and to myself. But I don't know. We'll get there. I have a glass of water next to me because I thought I would actually get a dry mouth. And instead, the opposite has proved true. And I don't know what to do about that. Maybe I'll figure it out by the next episode. I don't know. Maybe I will just keep swallowing awkwardly and then editing out whichever swallows I can find so that you don't listen to obnoxious body noises constantly. In any case, we're coming up on about an hour, which is pretty much where I wanted to stop. Ideally, each episode's going to be about an hour, but some maybe more, some maybe less. Oh, fuck, I just hit my phone. I'm using my hands a lot, and I'm trying to not do that because I know that nobody can see me while I'm talking, so it does nothing. But my hands are waving wildly around, and the mess is getting hit. But as I was saying, wrapping up this episode, I hope you had a good time wasting an hour with me, and I hope that we will meet again soon. Wherever you're listening to this, if you want to, like, rate it, review it, whatever things you're supposed to do so that more people hear it, feel free to do that. If you hated it, maybe be kind of nice, or just be really, really completely dramatic and absolutely rude, because I would find that funny. But if you leave compliments, maybe add like something slightly insulting in there so that I actually believe the compliment part, because I'm not so good with compliments. And if you want to find me anywhere else, my username everywhere is Rozzy Doodles. And that's Rozzy Doodles. So it's just one of my names, Doodles. So Rozzy Doodles. And that's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all of the places. I'm just not great at updating them. So hopefully with more engagement on it, I feel more motivated to upload things. But there are videos of my cats on the TikTok, and I put pictures of them places too when I remember to. Plus, like, crafting stuff. You can also email me if you want to. Tell me stories. Tell me things you want me to talk about. If you have anything in particular, I really like clickbait stories. It's a problem, but I'll just spend hours just reading random clickbait stories of like the worst interview people ever had, or the worst like person people interviewed, or like different family drama, or like paranormal experiences. Like, I love all of it. So if you just want to send me anything and you want me to talk about it, I will give it a shot. So you can just email me at rozzydoodles@gmail.com. Maybe make the subject line have something to do with the podcast, or make the subject line really interesting. I don't really get many emails on there right now. It's mostly stuff from my Etsy just telling me that they found things that they're suggesting for me, and not actually that anybody bought anything that I put up there, because I'm not very good at actually marketing myself either. But if you want to check out my Etsy, it's also Rozzy Doodles. I'm not super like variant about my usernames. It's pretty much the same thing everywhere. If you see a Rozzy Doodles on anything, that's me. Like, there's pretty much no way it's not. So, I hope you have a good day, and I hope you come back to waste more time with me later. Thank you for listening. Have a good one.